It's Dave and it's Darren. It's a patron show.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Don't hit him. He knew not what he do dig.
Welcome, patrons. It is Dave and Darren.
He layeth on high.
And what's this hymn about?
This hymn, it's about a...
Big baby duck.
Big baby duck who got his head stuck in a stewed tomato.
Welcome, everybody. And by everybody, I mean you, patrons. Only you. This show is only a patron you. Exclusive for March of 2022.
And we're actually getting it done in March.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the hours are waning.
Yeah, I mean, it, in
we
the last...
kind of took it to the...
the last couple of hours.
We really should. I was about ready to pat ourselves on the back.
No, I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. Tomorrow will be April 1st because that's how calendars work.
Yeah.
And that will mark the 18 years.
Yeah, we're starting year 19.
That you and I have been together. It'll be our 18-year anniversary tomorrow. Dave and Darren in the morning. And I was reflecting with some dudes that we used to work with earlier this morning.
Really?
About, well, yeah. Yeah, I was, well, it got me thinking about, you know, you and I, for the longest time, said that we should do a show together.
Yeah.
And it took them forever to figure out that that was something that they should do.
They weren't that bright. They were not very smart people.
No. And that's what we were talking about. I was talking with a couple guys we used to work with. Do you remember the bit? Okay, so when we were working there, this would have been in the 90s.
Yep.
Talking about the Brady Street stations, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When we were working, thank you. Wish him the best. When we were working there, there was the Bob Country station.
Yeah.
They bought, 99 Plus, and then they turned it into a country station. And the idea was they were going to beat WLLR. It was the first of four or five times now that they've tried and failed to beat WLLR. But this was probably their best chance to do it because they were on a much better signal. They were on a 100,000-watt signal. And they had stolen away the morning show and the afternoon host on WLLR.
If it was ever going to happen.
And they were giving away cash. There were billboards. There was television. Like, everything that you could do, they spent a fortune trying to make Bob 99.7 this big damn deal. And they were gonna defeat WLLR, or at least be, you know, competitive enough to tie.
They would be vanquished.
Right. And they ended up just getting their ass kicked seven ways to Sunday. And they continue to do that over and over and over again. It's like they don't want to learn that lesson. But if they were ever going to do it, like you said, if they were ever going to do it, this was the time.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the late, great Mike Kennealy away was a big deal. That was a coup.
Oh, doctor.
Taking away Jack Carey was a big deal. They had everything going in their direction, and it wasn't happening. For whatever reason, it wasn't working.
Yeah.
Part of the reason it wasn't working was the way that ratings are gathered. They send these little diaries out to people, and what your job is to write down everything that you listen to, which is, you're giving people homework. And I think at the time you would pay a guy $1 a week to do it, and a woman would get $3. Literally, there'd be a dollar bill in the mail if you were a man and you did the work for them for a week.
Well, I'm going to keep the money.
That happened a lot. But then you would write down, okay, I, you know, from this time to this time, I listen to this radio station, and then you're supposed to write all that down.
Do the best you can.
Right. They still do it this way, which is incredibly antiquated, and it doesn't make any sense. But back then, while this was going on, we would have access where we could look and see what people would write down. And people would write down, I listen to Mike Kennealy in the morning on 99.7 FM, WLLR.
Yeah.
So they would write down WLLR, but then they would be listening to him and they would have the dial position correct for Bob 99.7. And it doesn't matter to the people at the ratings company. If you write down the call letters, that trumps everything. So even though,
which to me, if I was looking at something like that, I would go ahead and give credit to Mike Kennealy and 99.7.
Right. But that's not how they do things. If you write down, I was listening to the Cub game, but you write it down on WLR would get credit, even though they don't carry the Cubs. It doesn't make sense. It's never made sense. Anyway, that's not where I'm going with this. What we were talking about, because one friend of mine was talking to another friend and trying to explain that they were struggling to get this Bob 99.7 to work. So they had to come up with some other ideas because they had run out of all of the money that they were going to give away. And they realized that spending money on TV and spending money on billboards, they were just throwing money away. They figured we got to do more
about the first wave.
Yeah, we got to do a grassroots thing to really get this Bob Country up and running. So then they launched what they called the BBQ. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And the BBQ was they would have these hot dogs. I think they bought something like 8,000 pounds of hot dogs that they kept in a freezer, and they all turned green, but it didn't matter, and they would just serve a local yokel's hot dogs, and then they would have...
You were better off if you got to one of the early barbecues.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure because that a lot of people got very sick.
The ones in years 3 and 4.
Not great. Not great. Hey, we're having another barbecue. Will someone remember to go down to the freezer?
And thaw something?
Right. The freezer that was in the basement of a building that, and this is not a joke, whenever we got heavy rain, human feces would come up out of the ground. I'm not exaggerating. That's what happened. So they come up with this campaign, we're going to do barbecues, and that wasn't enough. They decided that they'd set a goal that Jack Carey and Mike Connelly were going to shake the hands of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
And they tried to keep score.
They had like a tote board on the side of the building.
It was a complete sham.
How many people we've said...
You have no idea. You've shaken like maybe a dozen people's hands, and you're trying to say that it's 30,000.
That was it. It was going to get to 100,000.
And it's like, no idea what...
These numbers that they would change every morning as to how many people they had said howdy to. So, like, Mike would go to old Mother Hubbard's cupboard for 2 hours and smoke cigs in the parking lot and then do the occasional hit. And then
that was 6,000 people.
The next morning, well, we said hello to another 17,345 people yesterday.
No, you didn't.
And it wasn't just saying hello. They had to shake their hands, which, come on.
Yeah.
But that was a campaign that was forever on the side of the building where these numbers.
Tote board change.
How many people we said howdy to. Anyway, one friend was telling the other friend the story, and the other friend didn't believe it because I guess they weren't there at the time. But that sort of lunacy actually happened. There was a lot of dumb. And the fact that finally they consented to put you and I together on the air, I know we've probably said this a million times before, until we were about an hour into the show, I still didn't believe they'd ever get around to doing it.
Didn't either.
Right. Because it just seemed like it made too much sense. And they were
18 years ago tomorrow.
They were really good at doing, really stupid things.
That they were good at. That they had down. they had stupidity figured out.
No problems there. That's all working out.
It's a lot easier for people. in every walk of life.
And I'm not kidding you. Those hot dogs that they had frozen in the freezer.
Why are people so good at stupidity? It's the one thing that we've got down.
Well, and you and I have talked about this off air. The reason that we probably got jerked around as much as we did over the last 18 years is because we're not idiots. Had one of us been dumb, or maybe both of us, we really could have gone somewhere, New study suggests, Darren, that outgoing people have a harder time coping with retirement. Extroverts, social butterflies.
Yeah.
Are the ones who have a real hard time with retiring.
Okay. I can kind of see that, I suppose.
Researchers say outgoing individuals miss the friendships that they formed with their colleagues.
Well, they're not even friendships, really. They think they like to talk.
Do you think it's possible that people you work with, I have a very different situation because you're really the only guy that I work with.
Yeah.
But if you're working for a big organization, like the people that you're friendly with at work, it's possible that they think of you as a real, genuine friend.
They're not.
I mean, I know they're not, and know they're not.
No, I mean, but we're actual friends.
Yes, exactly.
But just because you're friendly to somebody at work, that does not count as a friend. Neither do your Facebook friends.
No, that's true.
It's a strange term that they even came up with, that they decided to call them friends.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess it makes all the sense in the world. Let people think they have friends.
Yeah, But how many of those people are helping you move a couch?
None.
Researchers say outgoing individuals miss the friendships formed with colleagues.
They're not friendships.
Putting their well-being at risk during their twilight years. On the other hand, people that are, it says here, contentious types really get a kick out of leaving the office for good. They say that trait, people that like to be left alone,
yep,
it's like a nice psychological buffer, and it helps them really have fun-filled fresh days in retirement.
I like this study.
You know what I like about the retirement? Not having to talk to anybody. That's my favorite thing. The team also linked this trait to increased leisure satisfaction for those who left their jobs due to mandatory retirement policies.
I would have to imagine that extroverts retire later in life.
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would, that you keep going to work because you enjoy the interaction with people.
Yeah.
Part of this study is because of, you know, a phenomenon that they call the Great Resignation.
Sure.
That's been going on. But yeah, people who...
A lot of people of a certain age have just said, nope.
Mandatory...
I'll make it work somehow.
Mandatory retirement is, I guess, that's the most fulfilling thing. Where it's like the decision wasn't yours.
What do you mean mandatory?
Well, you know, like you get to a point where it's like you're done now because you've reached this age. Yeah. Or we're buying out your contract.
Yes.
Right? That's like extra satisfying, I guess, on some level.
That's they're extra saying, satisfying.
Well, that's what they're saying here, that it can be. Yeah.
I would think it'd be more satisfying that it's your idea.
Yeah, I would think so too. But then but when it's your idea, there's a lot of buildup and a lot of melancholy and a lot of reflecting upon things, as opposed to when they say, hey, in 2 weeks, you're done.
Or
and you're going to be taken care of.
Or it's like, you know what? If I just hang in there a little longer, that helps with the nest egg, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Although you can get to a point where you're working and it's hurting your nest egg. Yeah. You don't want to do that. There's more on this Bruce Willis story.
No more talk about this nest eggs stuff. I don't. Next time you make reference to it, it's just a round stick.
We'll have things over easy. And you'll say, look, there's a bird living in a round stick. Bruce Willis announcing that he's taking a break from acting. In fact, he's not even the one that made the announcement. His family had to. He's dealing with aphasia, which is where you have trouble putting words together. And
so,
as an actor, that's probably a bad, that's a bad stroke of luck.
But he can improve this?
Well, it has happened. There are actors who've had this happen. Sharon Stone had a massive stroke to the point where for 2 years she had to spend all of her time learning how to walk and talk. And I guess I had no idea that had happened. There's other actors that have had this happen and have dealt with aphasia and have recovered. It's possible
he will.
But are
they younger people?
Yeah, well, there is that. I mean, Bruce Willis is 67 years old.
Right.
And the news came out that he was going to be, you know, stepping back from acting because of this brain disorder, this aphasia. And, you know, it was sort of shocking in a way. But then the LA Times put out a story almost immediately after to let everybody know, actually, in Hollywood, this isn't very much of a surprise. According to actors and directors who worked with Bruce Willis in the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Recently, mm-hmm. did he have just a bunch of movies come out?
We talked about this, I want to say, on the radio show, where I think last year 5 movies came out with him in it.
That
some of them may have been held back because of the pandemic, but they're not movies that go to theaters anymore.
No.
They're all just like streaming movies or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a ton of movies, and they all tend to be the same movie, you know, where he's basically doing his Die Hard character, right? I mean, or he's a cop who's going to solve one last case. He's 67 years old. I'm looking here at his filmography, starting all the way back in 1980, but I'll just go over the movies that came out in the last 2 years. This is movies from 2021 and the movies that will be coming out later this year.
These are not big theater releases.
Well, tell me if you know of any of these. Cosmic Sin.
No.
Out of Death.
No.
Midnight in the Switchgrass. No. Survive the Game.
No.
Apex.
No.
Deadlock.
No.
Fortress.
No.
Those were last year's movies.
Well, that's a lot.
This year.
Keep going back until I know one.
Oh, no. 2020, Breach.
Nope.
Hard Kill.
No.
Survive the Night.
No.
10 Minutes Gone.
No.
Motherless Brooklyn.
No.
Lego Movie 2, the second part.
I've heard of Lego Movie.
I guess he has a cameo as himself.
Let's not count that one.
Glass in 2019. That one I heard of.
What was that?
That was a sequel to one of the M. Night Shyamalan movies, Unbreakable.
Okay, no.
Airstrike.
No.
Reprisal.
No.
2018, he did the remake of Death Wish.
No.
Do you remember him doing the Death Wish remake?
I wish I was dead.
Acts of Violence. First Kill.
No.
Once Upon a Time in Venice.
No.
Split.
God almighty.
Marauders.
No.
Precious Cargo.
No.
Extraction.
No.
Rock the Casbah.
No.
Vice.
No.
The Prince.
No.
Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
No.
Red 2.
Okay, yes.
That's the one with him and Helen Mirren, right?
Wow.
So boy, you gotta got to go.
That's a hell of a box set you could get somebody.
That's the last 9 years of his career, man. So...
That's a box set of stuff that no one's ever seen.
Yeah, the titles are all kind of the same. The director of the movie Out of Death is a guy named Mike Burns. And he tells the LA Times, after the first day of working with Bruce, I could see it firsthand. He says in June of 2020, Burns, the director, had to write an email to the film's scriptwriter asking to cut Bruce Willis's dialogue. Like, we got to get rid of a lot of his lines because these are too many lines and he can't handle it. Just before shooting, they reduced his dialogue by 20%.
Is that enough?
LA Times also talks to 24 people in the industry who tell similar stories about working with Bruce Willis, saying that he had to use an earwig. That is another person who would feed him his lines through an earpiece.
Yeah.
It also says here he didn't seem aware of his surroundings on the set.
Huh.
This is heartbreaking. That's
too bad.
I know. I'm reading here from the Times. It says, in one alleged incident 2 years ago on a Cincinnati set of the movie Hard Kill, Willis unexpectedly fired a gun loaded with a blank on the wrong cue, according to two people familiar with the incident who were not authorized to comment. No one was injured, but the film's producer disputed the incident occurred, but the alleged discharge left other actors and crew members shaken.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, did
you see where Alec Baldwin's having his seventh kid?
Yeah.
Seems what are you doing?
Seventh kid with that woman, too, right? It's not seventh kid.
That's just the seventh one with her?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my
God. I think he and Hilaria. She doesn't know what is the English word for a condom. What is
Hilaria.
That?
Hilaria.
That's her name. You can't make it up.
It sounds like some sort of
funny malaria.
Some sort of festival we would have had for Larry. It's come to the Hilaria Festival. We could have had like comedians, and Larry could have just. They could have like. It sounds like a roast for Amazing.
Oh my God, that's great.
Hilaria.
I don't want to discount that we won't do that.
Yeah, we can still maybe do it. Basically, if they ever...
Come on out to Hilaria.
To Hilaria, where we're going to roast Larry.
Oh, no. How would that go, you think, if we roasted him?
I think you're all sons of bitches.
You got some nerve to say that about me. Come on out to Hilaria. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, all the stars are here. It's Hilaria, a tribute to Amazing Larry.
What'd you just say? Fuck you.
Where are we now?
Davenport. Oh, great.
Raji.
Yeah, if he wasn't together enough to know when to fire the gun, I mean, he just basically had a gun in his hand. It's like, well, what does this do? Maybe he shouldn't have been making...
Was he not aware of his decline?
I mean, I can't speak to that, but I'm guessing you are and you aren't. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, maybe it's a situation where it's like, okay, maybe I'm slipping a little bit, but it's like, no, you're slipping more than a little bit.
Yeah, buddy, you're just shooting the gun when you're not even supposed to.
Doesn't even call for it in the script.
A self-described magician and illusionist... with a long history of scamming casinos, has allegedly struck again.
Is that ever a good idea? Do casinos, they don't take that lightly, do they?
No. No, that's a good way to get your ass kicked, for sure.
What do you... And it's one of those things where it's kind of built in. It's baked into the whole idea of the right. industry of casinos, mm-hmm. where people think, oh, you're going to get physically injured. It's like, well, people can't physically injure you.
Well,
it's like, yeah, in the casino trade, I think we're all kind of...
No, yeah,
you're all kind of we're all kind of conditioned. If it was basically, it's like you double crossed a bakery.
No, look, you go to right. If you go to a Best Buy and put a DVD player right. down your pants,
yeah.
you're going to get maybe arrested.
Yeah, you don't expect though to end up in the desert somewhere.
Exactly.
But with casinos,
we all kind of assume.
We all kind of accept that. Yeah, that's the sort of stuff that happens.
Sean Joseph Benward, 35 years old, of Ocean Springs, Mississippi. He's accused of working with 42-year-old. Hang on a second here. I lost the story. And you hate to lose a story about a magician that's in trouble with the casino. Teach Presto some manners for me here. Oh, no.
Was his name Presto?
I'm calling him Presto. This guy accused of scamming a Pennsylvania casino, and not for the first time. 42-year-old Danielle Yvonne DeHoren of Gulfport was working with Sean Joseph Benward, they alleged, to steal more than 10 grand from Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh. Unclear how Benward was able to enter the casino. I'm guessing through a puff of smoke, right? The Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board placed him on its involuntary casino exclusion list in October of 2015 after he was accused of illegal activities, including conspiracy by trick or fraud. It's not a trick, it's an
illusion.
And what I've done here is not a trick, it's an illusion. Banned also by the state gaming boards in Missouri and Michigan, and has a prior conviction for cheating at the Delaware Park Casino. Riley, right here in the Sun Herald, Benward has been confirmed as a cheater in multiple casinos across the country and has gaming-related arrests with the New Jersey State Police and the Pennsylvania State Police. According to Delaware State Lottery Office, Pennsylvania authorities say that this couple arrived separately at tables at the Rivers Casino there in Pittsburgh. They then distracted the dealer so the employee wasn't watching as a roulette ball landed in the still spinning roulette wheel. What is this? What is this?
This is the mid-roll. This is
mid-roll
on a patron only podcast. It's not allowed. It's not the sort of thing we do.
What is this? Oh, okay. I hit the wrong button there. Sorry, patrons. He is banned from all of these places. He's been confirmed as a cheater in multiple places. So they do this thing at the roulette wheel. Uh-huh. They would distract the dealer, so when the employee wasn't watching, as the ball landed in the roulette spin, that's when the magician would swiftly place his bet on the winning number. They tried to scam.
How many times can you do that?
Well, that's if you got away with it once. What's that, a 36-to-1 payout on roulette? The couple tried to outscam the five times over a 24-hour period, February 18th to 19th. The scam got them $3,500, and it worked three times, earning them $10,500 in all. Well, if they tried it five times, but it only worked three, I guess that doesn't quite add up to me. They're now charged with theft by deception and criminal conspiracy, third-degree felonies that look at 7 years up to prison for each and fines of 15 grand each. Also, five misdemeanor counts of committing a fraudulent scheme. Benward, whose Instagram account describes him as artist, magician, creator, illusionist, also facing charges of driving with a suspended license based on his trips to and from the casino. Oh, they got you. They got you there, too.
Would you rather have success as a magician or a prop comic?
Hmm. That's a great question. I would say magician. Yeah, give me a magician. Uh-huh. Because I think at the end of the day, people can work up some manner of respect for a magician.
Right.
Yeah, now, even if you,
okay, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Then. What about this? Because a magician or a ventriloquist?
Oh, I would much rather be a magician than a ventriloquist.
Okay.
Because even
but
the very
a ventriloquist is still got more honor than a prop comic.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, without question. People flock. Jeff Dunham sells out the Tax Slayer mm-hmm. Center here. Even the very best ventriloquist, when you watch him on TV, you're like, I can see his lips moving.
Even the very best, it's not perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it's good.
It's good.
But it's not great. How's this for a roulette wheel? Raw chicken found circulating at the Seattle Airport baggage carousel.
Just raw chicken going round and round and round?
Loose raw
chicken. Just a chicken?
Loose raw chicken. Recently seen circling the baggage carousel at the Seattle Tacoma International Airport. TSA announcing here on social media. A representative from the agency believes that the chicken was probably originally shipped in a cooler, but somehow fell out of the container due to improper packing. They joke that somewhere between the luggage and the carousel, the chicken became free range. You go to get your luggage and there's just a raw chicken.
Now, how many times does it need to go around before you're like, I'll take it? If no one else is.
That really should be my question for you, because I would never in a million years.
If no one's.
You, though, on the other hand, would say.
If no one's going to claim this chicken.
There is not enough Lysol and Clorox to clean up afterwards, someone writes here. Yeah, I have to agree.
What do you mean? You're going to bake the thing?
No, but you got to clean up the luggage carousel at some point.
That you do.
People put their things that they touch with their hands on that carousel. We can't have raw chicken floating around.
That's true.
I guess in West Des Moines right now, they're dealing with a pack of wild turkeys that are terrorizing a neighborhood. This has been going on since February of 21. Buffalo Road in West Des Moines, residents and travelers are dealing with these crazy wild turkeys.
Wild turkeys out on Buffalo Road.
You ain't a beauty turkey, but you're all right. Pair of turkeys has been known to walk in front of cars going down Buffalo Road.
Asking for it.
And they've been known to chase people who get too close. I guess there's two tom turkeys and there's a female turkey that they neighbors have called Wilma. They call the two turkeys Fred and Barney, and then the girlfriend they call Wilma, which that's not canon, okay? Fred and Barney were not having three ways with Wilma, or that completely changes the dynamics of what I thought was a family show.
Hey, Fred. Hey, Fred, make a wish. Oh, Bonnie, you know what the wish is.
Fred, Fred, get off and give Barney a chance, Fred.
It's the same wish you've got.
Wilma's just sitting there the whole time going, are you two fellas going to do anything to me? Fred, get over here. Yeah, the West Des Moines police did a post here on Facebook with some tips about being safe with these wild turkeys. They say if they're acting aggressive or coming towards you, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources recommends waving your hands or whistling. Do not feed them. Do not slow down or stop your car. Because if they see their reflection in your car, they'll think it's an opposing turkey and they'll start to attack your car.
No, don't move side to side. Just charge right at them.
West Des Moines police also asking people, please stop calling 911 to report the turkeys. We know that they're there.
We got it.
What do you want? They're wild animals.
It's been a year.
They also are cautioning people in West Des Moines, don't pet the wild turkeys. That's something you have to tell people, I guess. If you tried to pet a wild turkey, you're going to lose a finger, aren't you?
I'm not getting that close.
Fred! in Wisconsin, I was disappointed to see this.
Bonnie, there's no reason to make a wish. This is really happening.
I made a wish, Bonnie. How do you think this happens?
Hey, Fred. Move over. I got an idea.
That just completely changes the tone of that show.
Uh-huh.
Wisconsin, as you know, is a place where people like to have a good time all the time.
Yeah, okay.
And I guess it's a little problematic in that if you look at metrics in terms of binge drinking, Wisconsin leads the nation.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Blows it out of the water. I was looking at a map earlier this week. They were showing counties that that have, you know, binge drinking that goes on and excessive drinking. And the entire, like in Iowa, there's counties that are darker shades than some counties. Uh-huh. By the way, in Scott County, I think we are the darkest shade.
Oh, I
you
did
can
see
be.
This. The entire state of Wisconsin was dark blue except for one little white dot.
Yeah, and that white dot was a lake. They had to explain that it looks, when you look at the dark blue of Wisconsin.
Lake County.
You know, right? It's like, it looks like there's a pocket of people that can, that aren't, don't have problems with their alcohol.
Who are these people?
No, they're fish is who they are. That's a lake.
Fish.
Yeah, that's Lake Fond du Lac or something, right? So the Wisconsin Policy Forum has put out a big report, ways to get people to stop drinking as much as they do in Wisconsin.
Well, what's the... Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Which state has the highest life expectancy?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
if Wisconsin is still up there, then, you know.
You know, when you look at the maps in terms of like binge drinking and excessive drinking, it tends to be, I think, more of a northern thing than a southern thing. A lot of that is cultural. I mean, like if you look in Wisconsin, a lot of their culture is based on alcohol. And some of that is due to a lot of like German influence, right? I mean, in Wisconsin.
Well, they made a lot of beer in Wisconsin.
They sure have. But I mean, they made a lot of beer in Missouri. They don't have quite the same numbers that they have in Wisconsin. If I wanted to take my 13-year-old to a restaurant in Wisconsin and order him a beer, it's completely legal.
Even today?
Yes. You can. Your parents can order drinks for 5-year-olds if they want.
And he can drive a tractor home.
Well, that's a here. I don't know about it up there. So they're trying to figure out ways to reduce all of the problem drinking that's going on. 61 different ways that they came up with to help these numbers go down.
That's
and
lot.
I gotta say,
that's a lot to swallow.
I don't care for these because this is painting with a little bit too broad of a brush. I won't read all 61, but they say first off, we got to raise the price of alcohol.
Don't care for that.
Uh-huh. More compliance checks to make sure outlets aren't selling to children.
Okay, that's fine.
That was a big thing when I was a kid, was the high schoolers in our neighborhood would drive up to Wisconsin because you could still buy beer when you were 18 up
right
there.
Yeah.
And then there were just all these fatal crashes on the state line because they would just get destroyed in Wisconsin, then try and come home. And it was just like, what are you doing? And then finally the federal government had to say, you've got to change your drinking age to 21 or we're not giving you any money for your highways. They also are encouraging local governments to stop sales of alcohol at gas stations, ban alcohol advertising on mass transit vehicles and property, designate alcohol-free parks, crack down on parties at college campus areas, increase the alcohol tax, more regulation of the alcohol delivery system. I'm looking at this map, and again, Iowa is almost as dark blue as Wisconsin, and Illinois is certainly pretty dark. But yeah, it's the northern Midwest, really.
Is that Utah?
Where we go after it. Yeah, Utah is completely white, except for the one county where, I think that must be where Salt Lake City is. I've heard there are a couple of bars in Salt Lake City that are a good time, but you got to get there early. Because they close like way
too. What do you mean they're a good time?
I've heard that there's a bar scene in Salt Lake that's pretty great. Because not everyone is Mormon, you know. So the bars are supposed to be excellent, and they're never that crowded.
No,
so you got all this, very cool atmosphere.
Elbow room. Hey, when's the jazz game going to be on?
Exactly. Exactly. Number of children in Wisconsin between the ages of 12 and 18 who are drinking, it's 30% in Wisconsin.
Good Lord.
Ooh, jeez. 30% of 12-year-olds are drinking up there?
What?
Yeah, you might need to... I don't know how jacking the price up is going to solve that. Finally here on the Patreon show, Darren, I don't know if you've seen this. Drugs that you listen to rather than ingest.
Mm.
The idea is audio drugs. This is the new hot thing. You listen to sounds and they affect you in a way that it's like taking a trip, man. Digital drugs delivered via sound.
Are you experienced?
Mm-hmm. Researchers examined a relatively new way to alter minds, which makes use of digital sounds to feed conflicting frequencies into each ear. And by tuning into these binaural beats, people report that they can drop out, reduce pain, enhance memory, ease anxiety, and ease depression. To determine what kind of crossover might exist between the use of more traditional psychoactive substances and these binaural beats, they did this study on 30,000 people in 22 different countries. And they found that 5% of these people had dabbled with the use of these beats. Have you heard of this?
No.
Where you listen to, just there's just different things going on in each year, and apparently it gets you like a little bit of a buzz.
None of my business.
Binaural beats, not a new thing. It first appeared in literature as far back as the mid-19th century. But now you can spin, it says here, trippy tempos made of conflicting frequencies, and you can share them online. These beats induce charges and changes in your brain, thanks to the way our sensory system interprets different low-end frequencies when they're fed separately into each ear. I would try this out. Ooh. I'm going to try this out as soon as we're done here.
QC beats.
They're good for pain relief or sleep therapy, it says. Far out. You know who would like this? Our buddy Graham.
Graham? You mean Graham?
Graham, man, like Graham a dirt.
Graham would get the biggest kick out of it. Patrons, we hope you enjoyed this show that we did just for you.
We march on.
Yeah, we appreciate the support. Thanks for all that you've done for us now. Coming on exactly 18 years.
Huh.
Hard to believe, but that's where we're at.
Like thanks, it or not.
Thanks for listening. We'll have another Patreon show for you in April. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, thanks again for your continued support. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock out,
come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.